Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to go right to the hotline to talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, it sounds to me like the NFL owners and whatnot are getting a little bit restless as they are moving, I think, further and faster than even the sports that are supposed to be playing in terms of getting people back to their facilities. And now it seems like they might actually start having some mini camp type stuff.
Yeah, I saw that the governor of New Jersey today said that all sports in his state, professional sports, can open their training camps. And really, when you think about New York, New Jersey, those are really the last two you would think that would be problem areas. Paul, it's the way it has been throughout this entire time. It's full steam ahead for the NFL. And I think today's news for, you know, the NHL, I think that's good. I know the NBA is probably right behind them. There's talk that they could have an announcement soon. Who knows about the Major League Baseball, but, you know, for the NFL, they could sit back. They could see what these hockey and basketball, what they do right, what they do wrong. And for them, you know, they could open their training camps in July, August, and then still have plenty of time for a ramp up to the season. So they've kind of been in a good position throughout this whole thing. You know, they weren't playing when it was shut down. They don't have to be the first to go back. So if they're watching, and if they're smart about this, I think they can learn a few things and, you know, could be beneficial for them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I find it amazing, though. They're talking about actually doing some mini camp type stuff. I know they basically just said the other day they just opened the other day for the players that were rehabbing. But we're talking about players and coaches, right, returning.
Yeah, I did see that report, Paul. I did see another report where several teams have already come out and said that their coaches and their players aren't going to be in the facility until training camp. So if there are mini camps, I think it's going to be a situation where teams can have them and other teams are going to simply choose not to do them. If you look at the way the NHL is doing it, Paul, they have this phase two, phase three, and then, of course, phase four will be the playoffs. Listen, the NFL just opened their buildings last week. I think the next logical step would be coaches and players getting in there, players maybe using the weight room, maybe small groups on the field if they wanted to do that. But I really think if a mini camp happens, I think it would be probably toward the latter part of June. And then after that, Paul, you know, these teams are reporting to camp in the third, fourth week of July. I don't think they would want to bump up too close to that. So they're talking about it. I know that story's out there today, but if you're asking me right now, I still think a lot of the teams are going to choose to, let's say, hey, guys, stay in shape. We'll just see you at camp, and this will kind of be like a one-off year, kind of like that strike year, that almost strike year back in 2011 when a lot of the facilities were closed throughout the offseason.
Yeah, and that's going to be, that's going to be the key for all of this stuff. Ray, if you think about it too, you know, the timeline seems to be working out well for the NFL more than the other sports. I read today, I think it was the Dolphins owner, it was like, oh, we'll be back and there'll be fans in the stands. I don't know about the fans part of it, but I feel like we are going to have the NFL and on time.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, that's certainly the way it looks right now. You're right. I mean, it's so hard to tell late May, you know, what's going to happen with this thing in terms of the stadiums being at full capacity or half capacity. And, you know, they're just really trying to figure this out on the run. But in terms of playing a full 16-game season or even a 12- or 14-game season, I think the odds are really strong in their favor. The numbers are down in a lot of the major cities across the country. I know there's still a lot of concern about there being a second wave of this in the fall. That could be a hurdle they have to get over. But the NFL has planned all along to have a full season. They do have plans for a 12 or 14 game season if it comes to that. But you know, like I said at the top, they've been on board from the get go, trying to have a full season, and I think that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the biggest thing is making sure that they get back. Now, do you have any feel for whether or not we will see any preseason games?
Still too early to tell, I think. I think we'll probably have a better idea of that maybe by late June. I mean, that Hall of Fame game, first week of August, you know, they're going to want to make a call on that, I would assume, by early July. So I think we'll have a better understanding maybe a month or so from now. I still think we could see a truncated preseason, Paul. I'm not sure all five of those Steelers preseason games are going to go off. We'll see. I have to see how this goes, you know, how these facilities open. As I mentioned, you know, it was only last Tuesday that they opened for the first time. So they're still trying to get a handle on this. If you're asking me right now, I don't think the Steelers will play a full five-game schedule preseason-wise, but I do think they'll have an opportunity to play one or two, maybe three games, and have some semblance of a normal training camp, once they get that going.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Ray, we've been talking a lot about Ben Roethlisberger, and today I heard another one of these national guys trying to explain why they're so fixated on Ben Roethlisberger. And one of the things that they said was that that Ben Roethlisberger gets a pass and gets away with a lot of things that other guys don't. What does that even mean? I think people in this town, I know there are people in this town that, you know, that will take up for Ben. I'm talking about media guys, but I think Ben has had his feet held to the fire probably just as much, if not more, than any superstar that I can remember.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, I'm at a loss, kind of. I mean, I know back during the 2018 season, especially when they tanked late in the season, I certainly was critical of the interceptions number, and I know a lot of other people in the media were as well. So, I don't know. It's just the thing that's gone on the last two off seasons. I think a lot of it had to do with that Antonio Brown thing. And, you know, for better or worse, I say worse, it seems like Antonio Brown has a lot of friends in the national media. But at the very least, he has a lot of people who sympathize with his plight. So I'm not sure where that comes from. I don't really understand it. And, listen, I hear the constant drumbeat as much as you, but I got to be honest, I try to tune it out as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I just I don't get that one. I think that, you know what, there probably are people that are quote-unquote homers for Ben, but I look at the superstars that we've had in this town. And, you know, until Antonio Brown even, you know, before he, you know, went off the reservation completely, I mean, I thought he got more of a pass than Ben does.
Oh, absolutely. You go back and look at, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, not practicing, not being a training camp, you know, whatever Ben has done in the past, even when Ben had days off from throwing, he would be there for practice. He might go golfing in the morning. But he would certainly be there in person in practice, and he would be on that practice field. There was that situation during camp in 2018 where Antonio Brown just disappeared for a while. You know, he was back training in Florida. There was a video that came out. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like I said, I don't get why he is quote unquote picked on so much, but hey. There's only 3 months left in the offseason, Paul, so we only have to put up with it for that long.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. I mean, some of these guys, they seem to have nothing better to do with their time but come up with reasons why they hate Ben Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin was on the a podcast or some sort of thing with John Calipari yesterday and talked about the Rooney Rule. I wrote a little bit about it today. Ray, I mean, I think that people are a little bit mixed up about the Rooney Rule and the whole purpose of it. Mike Tomlin is not the head coach of the Steelers because of the Rooney Rule. He got an interview because of the Rooney Rule, but he got the job because of the way he interviewed, right?
Absolutely. And I think when that headline was written yesterday, I think a lot of people got the wrong idea. I think everyone, I certainly don't want to speak for Mike, but I think almost to a man, everyone was against incentivizing it with draft picks. But what Mike was saying, if you listen to that entire interview, he wanted the people who groom these minority head coaches, if somebody you had on your staff went on to be a coordinator or they went on to be a head coach, then he would be okay with the incentivizing, which I think makes sense. You know, listen, if you hire a young minority coach and they go on to have success, let's say you groom someone who goes on to be a coordinator, maybe you could be rewarded with a compensatory sixth-round pick. And let's say if you produce a minority head coach, then maybe you would get a compensatory third-round pick. So when you look at it in that light, it's not so much, hey, we're going to reward you because you hire a minority. It's going to be, no, we reward you because you're producing these guys and you're grooming these guys and you're getting these guys ready for more prominent roles. So when I heard the entire interview, I was actually okay with what Mike said, but I agree with you. I just think there's a lot of misinformation. A lot of people don't really know how to read that thing. I think we'll get it fixed eventually. I think it needs fixed, but at the very least, we're getting the conversation started now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the interesting thing when it comes to this. How do you make it work? I mean, I just think the most important thing, Ray, it's about opportunity, isn't it? I mean, we're just talking about trying to create a bigger pool of candidates so that the more that they interview, the better chance they have of getting jobs. I mean, you can't get a job, but you can't, if 100 guys interview, over a 3-year period, the chances of them getting a job is more than if, say, 20 guys interview, right? I mean, that's the concept.
Yeah, but let's face it, you have owners out there too, and you see it every year, Paul. They have their eye on their next star head coach, and then they'll just have a couple of minority coaches come in, just to satisfy the Rooney Rule. And you don't want that either. So you actually have to have somebody like a Dan Rooney in your front office, someone who's sitting in on those interviews to be open-minded. Because as you mentioned, let's face it, back in 2007, Mike Tomlin was not an early favorite. You had Ken Whisenhunt, who was on staff. You had Russ Grimm, who was on staff. Certainly, most people assumed one of those two guys were going to get that job. But, Dan Rooney liked what he heard in that first interview. They had him come back, and, we all know how it went from there. So you just need an adult in the room in every one of these ownership groups. And I'm not quite certain we're there yet with all these ownership groups, but, like I said, I think by getting the conversation started, I think that's a good thing. And I think hopefully, some of these owners will wake up and, they'll start realizing it.
Ray, thank you so much. Great stuff as always. And thanks for taking some time, buddy.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Great stuff. Breaks it down. You can find his stuff at postgazette.com. It's the Paul's Eye Show on 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.